How would you feel if you could put Amari Cooper in that list? I don't know why I got excited when I thought that maybe he was looking for another team. But then again, he just watched the Browns on Sunday while he was sitting out and probably said, that's not a team I want to go to right now. But not that he has a choice. I know, not his choice. But it sounds to me like he would like to hit the road, Jack, from Las Vegas. So there are all kinds of trade rumors. He reportedly informed the Raiders that he wants to be traded. And now there are plenty of teams that seem to be having preliminary interest, according to CBS Sports. The Steelers being one of them, Josina Anderson reporting that. The Cowboys, the Jets reaching out, maybe
all kinds of teams
thinking about that.
You see the name Browns in there anywhere?
New Orleans? No, not really. But you said you saw somebody that had the Browns listed.
There was one time that I saw that. But you know, it was like 10 teams that could be interested in. Yeah, well, the Saskatchewan Roughriders might be there.
No. Have you seen their? They have really good wide receivers.
Latest one, 32 minutes ago from Cody Benjamin on CBS. These are typical. Cowboys. Okay. Why? Because the Cowboys. You know.
Right.
Jets. Why? Aaron Rodgers. Steelers. Why? Because they wanted Brandon Ayuk and they didn't get him. Also Saints. Why? Because Derek Carr and Davante Adams are college teammates, great buddies, great chemistry. All of a sudden, that hamstring that just suddenly creeped up on Thursday doesn't sound like that big of a deal. Did you see the Instagram like? This is one of the things that might be part of this. Is there was some Instagram thing that said that Davante Adams, somebody posted something that said Davante Adams might be traded, might want to trade, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, his head coach gave that a like, Antonio Pierce. And when Devontae was made aware of that, when he was talking to Kay Adams, no relation, on her little show,
right?
He was like, oh. And she said, have you talked to your coach? No, but I want to. See, Devontae, not only is he great in the Taco Bell commercials, he's a great wide receiver.
That is true.
He's really good. And he doesn't look like a guy who's aging. He is 32.
I'd be in trouble if I had one in my house, too, by the way.
They make the best tacos. Anyhow, I would think you could go pick him up. If a team wants him, you could pick him up and know that he's going to play well and play for you. Raiders have said they want a second-round draft choice. If I'm a contender, I'm giving him a second-round draft choice. He does not look like a guy who's been affected by the clock turning past 30. And I would go get him if I was a team that thought I was a really good wide receiver away. Now, you want to bring him to Cleveland? Great. I'd bring him to Cleveland, except for one thing. And I don't mean to be a wise guy here. Is this team shown and knows what to do with good wide receivers?
No. Well, Jarvis Landry, if you considered him a good wide receiver, right?
That's some time ago.
I know. It feels like it's been a while.
Odell?
No. They didn't know what they were doing with Odell.
I didn't think they did either.
No.
Do they know what they're doing with Amari?
At times?
At times. Exactly right, Andy.
Yeah, they're a holding call away from making you say, yes, they know what they're doing.
I think Jerry Jeudy is showing some real signs of life. But if you put Amari and Jerry Jeudy and Davante Adams on this offense together, is it going to be chaos? Are they going to figure out how to get the ball to them? Could Deshaun Watson get the ball to all those guys? Could the offensive line protect long enough? I don't, as much as I love Davante Adams, and I do, I think he's a tremendous wide receiver. I don't know if it's a good fit. I love adding talent to that group.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder if it's a good fit because I'm not sure the team knows what to do with him. Would know what to do with them.
Well, it goes back to another part of the whole story for the Browns with Amari Cooper, right? So if they were willing to trade Amari in the beginning of the season, or at least listen to offers.
But they were for a big-time wide receiver.
Right. I don't know what – like, I don't know how the money works out on that either, too. Like, let's say you send Amari there and Devonta here. I'm just looking at cap hit money and – he's guaranteed $16.8 million, and he's carrying a $25 million cap hit this year.
All you got to do is restructure. You could make. They,
I don't know. They keep pushing
they
everything down the road.
They can make anything work.
I don't know. I keep looking at that, and I'm trying to figure that out. So, but the question there then becomes, you know, I don't know that you're trading Amari Cooper for him, but what if that suddenly, what if you decide, what is it, November 5th, November 4th is the trade deadline? It's right around Election Day, that they want to trade Amari Cooper. What does that mean? And, like, would you trade Amari Cooper? And I'm saying, I'm like, immediately I started thinking, okay, Devontae Adams for Amari Cooper.
Sorry, what's the record at the trade deadline?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
I would think so, because if it's one or two and whatever it might be at that point, what would that be? Six? If the Browns,
two and
are,
six.
Browns are 1-6, 1-7, 2-7, 3-5, yeah, I'm trading Amari Cooper. Why? Because he's a free agent at the end of the year, and you've already shown you don't want him here.
That gets you to the bye week. They're in a weird spot. Like, the trade deadline comes right before the bye week for the Browns. So that they have the Chargers game, and then the trade deadline happens after that.
You'll know.
Is that right? Yeah.
You'll know on November 3rd, after you play the Chargers, whether you want to move key pieces on this team or not.
I'm not in a big hurry to move Amari Cooper. I'm not.
Well, neither am I.
A couple drops here, big deal. I don't care.
It has nothing to do with him, Andy. I think he's terrific.
Is it his contract?
I think it has everything to do with what their record is at the time of the trade deadline. It's nine games for the Browns when they hit the bye week. If they're 5-4, I'm not moving him. If they're 4-5, I'm not moving him. If they're 3-6, I'm thinking about it. If they're 2-7, I'm driving guys to the airport. If they're 2-7 at the trade deadline, heaven forbid, I'm driving guys with expiring contracts to the airport. Elijah Moore, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Amari, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Anybody on an expiring contract, if the Browns have stumbled to the bye week with a record of, like, you know, heaven forbid, 1-8, 2-7, maybe even 3-6. There's, from a business standpoint, Andy, there's no reason to hang on to guys on expiring contracts.
I can't disagree with you at all.
It's the baseball theory.
I mean, do we think that these guys are going to be sitting here? Do we think the Browns are going to be in that bad of shape? I don't know. I look at the record.
I don't.
Well, I think health is going to have a lot to do with that, and I think we all know that.
That's valid.
I think this week is a big week because we might get some guys back this week. You could get David Njoku back this week. You could get Jedrick Wills back this week. You could get Jack Conklin back this week. Nick Chubb. I mean, I'm not saying he's coming back this week, but especially when today is really his first day back at a real practice. Let's see what he looks like today and how that shakes out. There's zero expectations for him to be dressed this week, right? They're in a 21-day window. You're not expecting Nick Chubb anytime soon, are you?
No, I'm not.
I'm not either. So
I hope that he's able to return because that means his health is terrific. I'm not planning on him being here. If he's able to come back and they deem him healthy enough, great. That's by all means fantastic. But I'm not planning on it until they tell us that he's healthy enough to go.
I look at this Amari Cooper situation and I'm like, ugh. And is it? It doesn't have to be a situation. Again, you know, it's. I hate to say it. It's a situation because of a holding penalty now, and based on the fact in the beginning of the year that you thought, well, maybe we could put Cooper on the market,
and probably maybe a couple of blown coverages too, right?
Yeah, you're right. And just hanging on the ball. I mean, look, that interception just absolutely sucked. I mean, there's just not much more. The ball bounces up in the air. You know, it was just a weird play.
I don't want to make excuses for a guy, and I've just watched the play. If you notice, one of the Raiders kind of flashed in front of him, and it screamed to me, man, for just 1 second, that guy blocked his vision, and he should have still caught the ball. But for 1 second, his vision was disrupted. And that ball hit him right in the chest. It was on him before he knew it. It was clearly he needs to catch that ball, regardless of that. But if you're looking for an excuse and maybe a valid one, I think that's it. But, I mean, he's a really good wide receiver. He catches that ball.
Yeah, it just seems like things are just a tick off with him. It's not, and it's all correctable. I don't think that that's... again, you'd be feeling great if it was at 82 yards that got called back, 82, 83 yards on that play. It's just so weird how one play can change your whole dynamic, the whole outlook on things. And by the way, that could have meant a victory for the team too. So it's just – and then all of a sudden you turn around and you're like, well, I wonder if they need Amari Cooper, if they could trade Amari Cooper. What situation could they be in there? So Let's talk a little bit more about that. One, do you want Davante Adams? Two, at what point would you pull the trigger on maybe trading Amari Cooper? 216-474-0092. Or on social media on the X, you know where that's at CLE Talking Heads. We'll also hear from Kevin Stefanski a little bit later, his press conference in Berea. The Sal Pal, Sal Balantonio from ESPN, NFL matchup. He's got a new book out, How Football Explains America. I'm looking forward to talking to him about that in the noon hour. And we should probably hear from Deshaun Watson at some point during the day, probably closer to the 1 o'clock hour, as far as his press conference is concerned. Davante Adams wants out of Las Vegas. Where could he end up? There's a number of teams out there right now. Just looking at Pro Football Talk, looks like Jets, Saints seem to be on the top of his list. If he could pick his destination, as you said, Jeff, why the Jets and the Saints?
Aaron Rodgers, his former quarterback in Green Bay. Derek Carr, his former quarterback at Fresno State and with the Raiders.
There you go. So that might be why. Obviously, Browns fans, your ears percolate when you hear this. You're like, I wonder how Davante Adams would look in a Browns uniform, Woody, and then what would you have to give up? Would you give up Amari Cooper? You know, what would that be the situation? I don't know. Would I be all in on that? No, I would like Amari Cooper and Davante Adams, but I want a lot of things. So let's go to Marcus in Aurora's been standing by. Hey, Marcus, how are you?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Marcus.
Now, listen. First of all, the trade that Josh, the genius Josh McDaniels, made, trading the 1 and 2 for Adams, was a disaster. And the Browns, if the Browns are 1 and 5, you know he's not going to want to come to Cleveland. He wants to go to a playoff team, and
he doesn't have a choice on this one though. And he has no, well, he doesn't have a no trade in this deal either. So
he doesn't have a choice. That's true. And they're going to take whoever makes him the best offer.
Right.
Whether it's they're not going to get what they want for him, I highly doubt it. So, like, if the Jets or somebody offers a 2, they're probably going to take the deal. And you got to figure, if you're a bad team, why would you offer a high draft pick for a guy like that? He's probably not going to help get you to the playoffs or anything like that, at least not this season. And then if you're the Browns, do you want to even bother with a restructure for the guy? That's the other issue. And, you know, he quit on a one play. All it took was the one play. Minshew threw the pick, and Adams decided to bail out. And Pierce, one thing about Pierce, whether he wins or not in the long run, you can't quit on the field on the guy. So I don't know. I don't know if they want Cooper back. They want picks, and they'll take the highest one. They might even – I don't think the Chiefs would offer him a 1. People are saying, oh, yeah, the Chiefs will offer him a first round for Adams. I don't like making in-division trades, but if the Chiefs offered him a 1, I bet you they'd trade him.
Absolutely. They would take a number 1 from anybody for him, but nobody's going to give up a first-round pick.
No, not for a 31-year-old in the salary. No.
Yep. All right, Marcus, thank you. Appreciate it. Good stuff. Slater is in Valley City. Call 216-474-0092. Hi, Slater.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Jeff, you're the insulation guy, right? So if your offensive line is not keeping the heat off your quarterback, it don't matter what receiver you have. They can barely get the receivers their ball now. So I don't think bringing Davante Adams in here is going to solve anything until the offensive line can prove that they can protect the quarterback.
Which Slater is what I said early in the show.
Right. The great thing about Nick Chubb was, and I remember they were talking about the offense a couple years ago, they could leave a guy unblocked, and they trusted Nick Chubb to get past that guy. They can't do that with the running backs they have, and they can barely block the guys. The offensive line can barely get it done now with the backfield that they have. So, you know, will Nick Chubb be the answer? Perhaps. Is he going to be the same guy? Hopefully. But until they fix that offensive line, it don't matter what receiver they bring in here.
Slater, I tend to agree with you on that. Thank you very much. In fact, I do agree with you. The offensive line's got to figure out – they've got to get healthy.
Isn't it just health?
Yeah, it's health.
It's just health. I mean, if Jack Conklin's healthy and able to play at his level, if Jedrick Wills is healthy and able to play at his level, don't insert a joke there. I'm being very serious.
Sure.
If Jed can do what he's done in the past, if Jack can do what he's done in the past, and Zach Zinter can go in and do a decent Wyatt Teller impression, mm-hmm. they'll be okay. And if Ethan Posick is okay. But guess what? We've just talked about four of the five spots on the offensive line. There are issues there, and they have to get fixed.
And the schedule gets harder.
And other teams are dealing with offensive line issues and somehow don't have the same kind of issues the Browns have. Think about that. Okay, other teams are beat up on the offensive line around the league as well, and they're handling it better than the Browns are handling it right now.
You know, we talk about this identity thing with the Browns, and do they have an identity? What's their identity? What is the offense going to be? I think that's part of it. What is it going to be, right? And you have to ask yourself, this is the question I keep asking myself. Like, Jed Wills, everyone was ready to throw him out of here. And now all of a sudden, it feels like if he comes back, he's going to be somewhat of a savior to be able to come back and play on that offensive line. To me, that's worrisome. I don't know. They don't have an identity on offense right now because they don't have an offensive line that can string together. And then, you know, when you think they should run, they don't. And sometimes they pass the ball too much. And they can't play four quarters of football. At least they proved that in the losses for sure. That they need to be able to figure out a way to play all four quarters. And I just don't have a whole lot of faith. I might start having faith, though, when Nick is back, when Njoku is back, when the offensive line is intact. But even just going into that whole notion of what is their identity, right now their identity on offense, Jeff, and tell me if you disagree, is just broken. They're broken.
To me, that's not an identity. That's just a fact. You know, right now their offensive line's in trouble. And David Njoku not being there and Nick Chubb not being there. You know, you expected Nick not to be there, but David, you didn't. To me, Andy, they have three guys on the offensive side of the ball who can put fear into a defense. Nick Chubb, David Njoku, Amari Cooper. That's it.
And only
right
one
now.
Of them's on the field right
and
now.
And only one of them's on the field right now. And they're working with a really beat up offensive line. They haven't had a chance to establish any kind of an identity on offense.
Well,
In fairness.
Mr. Scoop and Score was on Ken Carman's show yesterday with Anthony Lima, Rodney McLeod.
Mr. Scoop and Score.
I thought it was
awesome. Is he trademarking that?
I call him Mr. Scoop and Score. I thought it was awesome to watch. I love Scoop and Scores. I just think they're cool.
Sounds like a Christmas gift for you.
But he also,
I like the Scoop and Score.
When he was on the show yesterday, he talked about exactly what we're talking about, that whole identity situation for the offense or for the team.
Man, you can have great talent, but there's bad coaching that exists in this league.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why some people are shipped out every year. Some people also just don't know how to necessarily lead a group of men. That can be a factor, too. And I feel like what's brewing right now, and we kind of hinted at it earlier a couple weeks ago, the trust. Where is that trust between coaches and players? It's going to reveal itself very soon in how people truly feel, because you know how it goes. You get in front of that camera, those questions get asked. There's only a matter of time before the truth and what's happening in the dark starts to come to light.
Thought that was interesting. You know, when you get
kind of heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. And for somebody who's in the locker room, too, mm-hmm. right? And is making plays and just, you know, what are they going to be? Because the rougher this gets, the more, you know, the little dark clouds start coming out. And they start hovering over Berea. And then you start hearing stuff that's even worse. And it makes it – and it's not that it's worse. It's just worse at the time. How come so-and-so's not getting the ball? Why aren't we running the ball more? Why aren't we passing the ball more? Did that guy hustle on that play? How come that guy quit on that play? Why did he make that decision? When you win, no one's ever asking those questions. But when you lose, they're all out there. Roman is in Canton. Hi, Roman.
Hey, fellas. Just wanted to chime in. I'm wondering where this confidence in Jed Wills coming back and, you know, our line, you know, coming to what it used to be. I wonder where the confidence comes from, because Jed Wills has been, honestly, since he's been drafted, he hasn't been above average by any means. So I don't know what getting him back is going to do. I'm and I know we've talked about it before and we've kind of brushed it off as like a non-issue, but what's going on with our strength and conditioning? I know it's not our medical staff. I think they're doing a good job by dealing with what they deal with, but we are the most hurt team in the NFL pretty consistently. At least that's what we use as an excuse as fans. You know what I mean?
Where do you get that, Roman?
Well, you know, last year we were hurt. I feel like every time we have a groove or we think that we should be better than we are, it's always, oh, well, we're so hurt. We're the most hurt team in the NFL. You know, we had 26% of the roster last year on the IR or hurt during the season. So you saw how many guys
80%, 80% of their offensive line was hurt in the last game.
Okay, so why are guys getting hurt so much? We had Jordan Hicks goes out. Like you said, our line just started dropping like flies, and that's been pretty often. I don't have any confidence in Jack Conklin because he can't stay on the field. So I think it's deeper rooted. I don't know if it's on the strength and conditioning. I don't know what the deal is, but I feel like, and this is an opinion.
I know they got that new gym. I'm looking at other teams. Like, I just looked at Detroit. Detroit had 17 guys listed as injured, whether they were out or, you know, still return. I mean, most teams are putting 12 to, I don't know, 17 might be the big one that I just noticed. The injured lists on every team are long. It's not just here.
Andy, I agree with you.
Is that just on the board of like who's hurt and who's playing through it?
Yeah, I just looked up NFL injuries and I went through like every team and I'm just counting numbers, not names. But like the Cardinals have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Because it's one thing to be banged up, right? It's one thing to be banged up and be playing through injuries like we've heard that Miles has been doing. You know, Miles, that's one thing to be playing through them. But we have guys that are consistently out or get hurt through games. And we point to, well, you know, if we just had everybody healthy, we'd be okay. I'm tired of it. Why isn't everybody healthy? Why are guys – why do we have so many guys dropping like flies?
I thank you, Roman. It's a good question.
Conklin, Jack's had major knee injuries.
Yeah.
It's like saying Nick Chubb's not healthy. Nick's had major knee injuries. Well,
that's what I kept thinking about. I'm like, are you going to blame strength and conditioning on Nick Chubb? He's the last guy I'm doing that to. So, all right, more
on
this.
And the same thing for Conklin. When Jack hasn't had major knee injuries, he's out there.
I don't know. That identity question seems interesting. And will they grow one here if the guys come back and are healthier? And then maybe we see something that we haven't seen all season long. 216-474-0092 or on social media on the X at CLE Talking Heads. Andrew Siciliano joins us in the next hour of Baskin and Phelps.